So with that, good evening, everyone, and thank you all for joining the Magnolia Public Schools Autumn Facilities Committee meeting. I do want to start off by saying Happy New Year. I hope you all are staying dry and warm. As you know, we've seen a lot of rainfall here in SoCal and other parts of California. So with that, a couple of reminders before we actually begin the meeting. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. However, if you want to state your comment anonymously, you may do that as well. As well as for our staff present here, as always, if you may state your name and your role before presenting yourself to the committee members and the public, and for our committee members, if you may please state your name before giving your comments or your questions. And with that, we'll officially begin tonight's meeting. The day is January 11th, 2023. The time is 6:04 p.m. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov to officially call the meeting to order.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the Magnolia Public Schools Audit and Facilities Committee meeting into order. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I will record attendance. Mr. Mohamedov. Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez.
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. Now that we've established quorum, we'll move on with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you would like to make a public comment, you may do so now. If there are no public comments at this time, we'll move forward next with the recommended action item, starting with 2A, recommendation regarding waiver of contingencies for the purchase of the property at 16600 Van Noen Street. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Good evening, everybody. Members of the public, stakeholders, board members, colleagues. So the item before you is the waiver of contingencies for the property at 16600 Van Noen Street. And as you may recall, we have been looking for a site, private site for MSA2 for some time. Towards the end of last year, we received notice that a property that we had had our eye on for quite some time was finally on the market. We jumped on it, really put a lot of effort into it, and ultimately got it into escrow. Since then, we have been doing a host of due diligence activities. We did a phase one, which came out clean. We've done our ALTA and topographical survey. We've done a soil study. And we've, as you know, we've engaged a land use consultant, Veronica Becerra of Ray Build Commercial, to help us navigate the entitlements process. And she's started doing that. So we've been moving forward. Everything is looking good as far as all of the due diligence activities that we've done so far. We had to ask for originally the due diligence period was going to expire in mid-December. At that time, we were still speaking with our potential lender, CLI Capital, the lender that financed the purchase of 18242 Sherman Way and the purchase of 7111 Winnetka Avenue. So we have a working relationship with them. So, going into winter break, we continue the conversation. We provided them with different materials that they asked for. And ultimately, just yesterday, we received a commitment letter from them to finance the purchase of Van Owen. So we had an opportunity to look at the terms of that term sheet, and it more fairly closely tracks what we had modeled out prior to the winter break. So working with the finance department, we came up with a model that had a timeline, cash flow as far as costs that would be incurred during the development of the project, and assumptions about financing and interest rates and things of that nature. So when the dust settles, it's pretty accurate. One of the differences is the interest rate. As everybody knows, interest rates have been a little wacky, to say the least, recently. And as an example of that, our rates on our Winnetka and Sherman Way properties, presently it's at about 9%, which is tied to the Wall Street Journal prime rate plus a premium above that. So that's more or less in line with the market right now. Obviously, we are hoping and expecting that interest rates will level off. And so that 9% rate will come down. But that is the same mechanism by which they, CLI Capital, is proposing to offer their financing. Besides that, everything else is very, I think, favorable. I don't think we would get a better proposal from any other lender. As you may recall, for our other two projects, they loaned 100% financing, which is very rare to find. In this instance, they said they would, for this project, they would loan up to $11.8 million. The property is in escrow for 13.9. So there's a delta there that we will have to make up. And then according to the term sheet, once we are, past the entitlement phase and have received our entitlements and are starting construction, they will finance 100% of the project, again, which is a really good deal to get from a lender. So as part of that, we need to waive, in order to move forward, we need to either bow out or we need to waive our contingencies. What that means is we have a $400,000 good faith deposit in escrow. And once we waive contingencies, that money is non-refundable. So if for some reason we decided, or for some reason we couldn't close, then that money would unfortunately not come back to us. But it is applicable to the purchase price. So what we're asking the board, the committee to do today is to approve the waiver of those contingencies in order for us to move forward with a closing. The contingency period expires January 13th on Friday. Then we have a 45-day close. And we had, you know, great success with this lender as far as the mechanics of closing. Probably the easiest lender that I've ever worked with as far as closing. They've already gone to their credit committee. There's only one level of review. The loan documents, we've already worked them out, you know, on the Sherman and Winnetka Avenue projects. So they're all worked out, you know, very minimal, you know, loan documentation to worry about. So it should be an easy closing. As part of the report that we submitted to the board just today, I do want to highlight that we included some information that I think would be helpful both to this committee as well as the board. And you know, I'm specifically looking at Section 6 budget implications. I don't think any of us are under the delusion that this is not an expensive project. It is, but I think we've understood that from the get-go. We have strategized both internally and with our partners about how to make the project work, how to make it affordable. And we've developed a good strategy for that. And as you may recall, the strategy includes entitling all of the property and then selling off a couple acres to bring down the overall costs. So that is a very viable part of our strategy. We would expect that those 2 acres would be very attractive to multifamily housing developers. The city has already started a process of rezoning the property. Veronica, our land use consultant, you know, has spoken with the neighborhood council, has spoken with a representative from the council office about this project, about what our plans are. And she told me it was received very favorably. So I think in that regard, we're on the right footing here. You know, again, we did, I would refer the committee to the, you know, the report. Again, Section 6, we have we provided with an estimated development timeline. We provided an income statement to cover the years, you know, 2022, 2023 through and including 2026, 2027. You know, Steve's on the call. He helped put that together. So if there are any questions on that, I'm sure he's willing to answer those questions. I also wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, when the dust settles, at the end of all of this, we expect that overall the project will have cost about $26.3 million, which we took a stab at coming up with some terms for what essentially a takeout financing would look like. So that is shown on page 5 of the report. It assumes an interest rate, which I think is very reasonable as far as, you know, where we could expect rates to be. You know, hopefully the rates would be even better than this, but, you know, I think it's a fairly conservative number. We've factored in SB 740. That would be help pay for the costs of the lease, and ultimately came up with a estimated net annual rent, which we think is will be affordable for the school at the expected student count of approximately 564 students. So that is the end of my formal presentation. And I am happy to answer any questions from our committee members.
Thank you, Ms. Ontiveros. With that, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I have a few questions. So first question, I'm now looking at the document, I can't remember where I saw this, but wherever the section is that talks about the interest rate, which I know is the Wall Street Journal prime rate plus 1.5.
Yes.
Let me see if I can find what page this is on quickly. It's on the CLI Capital letter. It says the interest rate will have a 5.75 floor. Is that a floor on the overall interest rate or just the Wall Street Journal prime rate component?
That is the overall rate. So okay. If the Wall Street Journal prime rate is 1%, we're still paying 5.75%. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that the 2 acres you would sell off is in the process of a rezoning now. Can you tell me, if you know, what is the current zoning status of, I'm actually not sure about the entire thing, but particularly the 2 acres that you guys are looking to sell off, what is it currently zoned for?
Okay. The current zoning for all of the land, all 4.3 acres, is single family residential.
Okay. So they need a zoning variant, or they need a zoning change. Maybe it is a variance to get it to multifamily, which I presume would be kind of the only way it would make sense for somebody to purchase those 2 acres.
Yeah. And just to add a little bit more color to that, the city has been, and the council office in particular, has been very interested in seeing what the owners plan on doing with this land. It's sat vacant except for some tennis courts for years and years and years. So there's a lot of land there. And as you know, the city has a very strong push towards providing more housing. So, from the perspective of development, we would expect that this would have a very clear path to having that zone change happen.
Right. It mentions in here, and again, this is in our memo part of it, the CBRE estimate is, I think it's about 650,000 lower than the purchase price. I think it's 13.25. I understand that's as is and includes the current zoning. I'm curious if you have some color on what accounts for the difference between the purchase price and the CBRE estimate or appraisal. Is that entirely just that we're valuing it higher because of the expected zoning change, or what is your assessment of that?
I think there are multiple factors that go into that. The CBRE appraisal takes into account, the current economic conditions, the current real estate market. So that has a effect on this overall valuation. They take into account that what can be built there right now is very constrained. So that accounts for, all of those factors together, lead a CBRE to come up with the valuation of 13.25.
Gotcha. Can you talk a little bit about the, you've mentioned the land concern. I mean, obviously, look, as I think I've been clear at multiple meetings, my big concern with this is the conditional use permit and the risk we're taking on, since we can't do that until after we have the property. The land consultant has met with the neighborhood council. I believe that this property is in Council District 6, which is currently vacant. And I guess filled, I think the election is in April, and it'll be filled then. And I guess I think the council is more important, but I think this is Kelly Gonas's LAUSD district, right?
That's correct.
I'm curious.
This is Alfredo Rubalcaba. Hello, everyone. It's actually Scott Smirelson's district.
Okay. I'm curious if I think the LAUSD district is probably less important to the zoning change, though obviously they have some input on this. I'm curious your assessment of the fact that the council seat is currently open and is not going to be filled for 3 months. I think it's 3 months. What if, is that going to delay this permit getting done? I don't know enough about the exact legal mechanics of how the zoning change happens, but obviously the council tends to be involved in these things. And I'm curious if you have any sense of how the political dimensions of this are going to play out with that seat being vacant.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. So with the council, with that seat being vacant, what our land use consultant has done is reached out to the people that are now in charge of that office. Okay. So she's spoken with those people, again, presented what our plans are for this property, both the submission of an application for a CUP, potential submission of a zone change application for a portion of the land, if we want to, try to move that zone change quicker than what the city is doing. And that has been received favorably. I think the best case scenario is that they are in complete support. Oftentimes for these issues, the council office, even if they tell you that they are in support of the project, when it comes down to it, they'll express a neutral position. So I think that's what we're going to see here. I don't think that the vacancy is going to affect our application in the short term. Obviously once that position is filled, then that person will bring whatever thoughts, views, opinions that they may have on this. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. So a few other questions. I'm sorry to be taking so much time.
No, please ask everything you want.
The interest rate structure that apply, I'm not totally clear on the loan structure here because the total loan amount is $27 million, right?
Right.
For land and the construction, it's basically, as I understand it, basically half of it is the land, the 11.8, and the balance is for the construction loan. It's all the same terms for the entire loan, right? Like the interest rate's the same, all of the mechanics of a loan are the same. Okay. But we don't draw on the construction part until we begin construction, or is the whole thing like debited to us now?
No. So that's a great question. The way this loan would work is they advance us the funds to purchase the property. We take it down. We will have to start making interest payments on the outstanding principal balance until such time as we move forward with the construction, at which time we then stop making those payments, and they then start making advances to us to pay for the construction costs. Okay. So, for some period of time, it's going to be, at the 11.8 level, because that's what they're loaning us for the acquisition. Then at a certain point, we expect that balance to go down to about, I think about 6 or 7, based on the sale of those 2 acres of land. So it'll be down. And then once we start construction, then it starts climbing, obviously, as we draw down on it to pay for construction costs.
Okay. And then final question, obviously our vote today, which is, this is just a recommendation to the board, which we'll vote on this tomorrow.
That is correct. Yes.
And we're just voting today on a recommendation as to the waiver of the contingencies, the biggest effect of which is the $400,000 escrow payment, which we lose at that point. The remaining closing period is 45 days. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So that takes us in. When I'm looking at this chart on page section 6 of our memo, page 3, and it has the estimated development timeline. What it says as CUP period, is that the period in which we will be preparing the application?
That includes the preparation as well as, you know, all of the public hearings, all of the, you know, responding to the planning department, that. So it's an all in period. It includes the submission of the CUP application and all of the requisite hearings until we get all the way up to the final approval letter.
And the final approval letter, because there's the CUP period and then the zone change period. When would the approval letter come? Maybe we can't predict this for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I used about 9 months roughly for the CUP period. I think that is a good estimate right now. You know, but things, obviously, there's certain things out of our control. I think this is a good timeline for now. As things progress, we will know more. You know, sometimes, you know, if you have a, you know, frankly, if you have a good land use consultant who has good relationships at the city, it can really help move things along. And we can be strategic about contacting city officials when we think it's appropriate, when it's necessary to move things along. But again, 270 calendar days is a good estimate for the, you know, the CUP period from start to finish.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions for me. Just...
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. Is there any further questions from our committee members?
Thank you, Patrick, for your responses. We had discussed as well before regarding the finances. Is Steve here?
Yes, Steve is here.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve. Steve, could you please give us what you guys worked on so far and just guide us towards how this looks on your projections and everything on financing and from what we hear rate that's being offered, given the market tumultuous market right now, is not too bad, is it? A reasonable sure. rate.
Yeah, no. The rate is, you know, within reason based on all the estimates that we're looking at. We're looking to see that, you know, since we're having to put in 15% towards the project and we're financing 85%, we are utilizing funds from the existing MSA2 fund balance, of which we're looking at about $4.6 million. So utilizing $2.2 million of that and putting that towards the project, and that along with doing a loan from MRF for about $500,000 would put us at about $2.7 million as Magnolia's contribution towards the project. And we ran various scenarios over time. We've worked on this for, you know, countless, you know, days, weeks, going over different projections. And really what we wanted to see was that this was affordable in the sense that we can maintain all of the financial obligations for the school and as well as debt service, and then still have enough days of cash on hand. And so if you talk about, I'll begin with sort of year one, which is the current year. We're beginning with about $3.2 million cash on hand. We end the year with about $1.2 million with the assumption that we get this $11.8 million. Into year two, we're looking at we're looking at cash balances that go down to about $500,000, in some cases a little bit less than that, but still sustainable in year two. No negative ending cash balances for year two.
Just quickly, Steve, so sorry, are we keeping the number of students the same? How does the ADA and the number of students look at the year two projections?
Sure, that's a great question. So we're assuming flat ADA. So we're looking at 513 in years one, which is the current year, years two and three. And then we're assuming modest increases into years years four and five. So we're looking at going from 513 in the first 3 years and into 564 in years four and five. So not a significant increase in enrollment / ADA. And looking at the historical trend, the site has increased its enrollment year over year for the last 3 years. So going up by about 51 students is a reasonable assumption, and we don't have any reason to believe that they wouldn't do that. And so we used, you know, very realistic assumptions based on the history of the school, based on current funding, based on everything else we've looked at. So I don't see any concern in terms of where we wouldn't be asking for anything significant, any significant increases. I think it's very reasonable given the trajectory of the school.
Gotcha. And assuming that, when do we occupy the school, the new building? Did you guys integrate that yet?
Yes. Yes. We
And which year would that be?
Let's see here. I'm looking at the cash flow. Patrick, do you have it off the top of your head? I'm looking at the cash flow right now. I'm trying to
find our best guess at this moment is we would be ready for occupancy in February 2026. That is
okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that gives us
absolutely. I just wanted to see approximately sure. Probably we're looking into year three to year four, and all of this is projection, of course, and they will fluctuate as we go. But yeah, that's good. That's good enough for me, Steve.
Yeah, no, thank you. And that's a good question, because that is when our debt service sort of begins to escalate. So to Patrick's point, that is a correct time frame assumption.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for these numbers. And I'm glad that for the year one, two and three, at least, we are being modest and slight increase, and we still on net positive for MSA2. I think those are numbers we can tolerate, assuming that interest rates don't go off the charts, of course, right?
Yes.
So we have that risk at hand no matter what.
Correct.
Thank you. Any further questions from our committee members? If no further questions, the motion is for the committee to approve the following actions. One, the waiver of contingencies by the deadline of January 13th, 2023 for the purchase of the property located at 16600 Van Noy Street in Van Nuys, and the release of good faith funds from escrow in the amount of $400,000, inclusive which shall be immediately non-refundable. Two, the financing of the purchase of the property pursuant to the terms and conditions set forth in that certain term sheet dated January 10th, 2023 by CLI Capital. Three, the execution by the MPS CEO and superintendent or his designees of such documents and instruments as may be necessary to undertake and complete the foregoing actions. And four, for the committee to recommend and move that the board adopt the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion? Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll go ahead and move the motion. It's Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second? A second to move the motion?
Okay, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov? Mr. Mukhamedov voted yes on the chat. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 2B, approval of design and engineering contract with DLR Group for the Magnolia Science Academy 5 Winnetka Avenue project. This will also be presented by Ms. Joan Tiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Yes, hi everybody. This is Patrick again. So the approval proposed for this item is to approve DLR Group as the architect of record for our project at 7111 Winnetka Avenue. So just by way of background, just to refresh your memories, we purchased this property several months ago with a loan from CLI Capital with the intent of building a brand new campus for MSA 5. MSA 5 and MSA 1, as you know, are all packed in like sardines at MSA 1's campus. So a new campus is sorely needed. We, as you also know, we applied for and received an award from the Office of Public School Construction under their Charter School Facilities Program. And that is approximately $50 million, which half is grant, half is a loan. So we hit the ground running as soon as we had all that information. Mustafa and I prepared an RFP, published it, send it to various design firms. We formed a selection committee. We went through and selected half of the 10 applicants that we received to interview. Those applicants came to our office. We met with them. And when the dust settles, we thought and still believe that the DLR Group was the best fit for us and this project. And therefore we are, again, want to memorialize the fact that we've selected them, that we're going to sign a contract with them. So in that regard, I do want to point out that the DLR Group on very, very short notice was kind enough to join this meeting to introduce themselves and answer any questions that the committee members may have. But we're Mustafa and I and Ali are real excited about moving forward. We had a meeting at DLR's office a couple days ago. It was really, really efficient, really thought-provoking. Gives me a great deal of confidence that this project is really headed in the right direction. So at this time, I would turn it over to our friends at DLR Group to, you know, maybe introduce themselves, say a little bit about themselves and DLR, and answer any questions from the committee. So I'll turn it over to Mark first.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Stankard. I'm the architect project manager for DLR Group, and we're very excited about this project. And as Patrick said, we had a great meeting on Monday. And we are have a lot of information from you, and we are on our way. And again, very excited. And then my colleague Andy Thompson is here.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. My name is Andrew Thompson. I'm the principal in charge at DLR for the project. And as Mark said, we're very excited to be partnering with Magnolia Public Schools on this opportunity. And our team is fully committed to helping Magnolia to achieve their goals of opening the school in August of 2024. So yeah, we're open to answering any questions. I apologize. I'm driving right now. So you don't see my face, but I'm here and ready to answer any questions that you might have.
Does anyone have any questions for us?
Oh. Sorry, thank you, Mark and Andrew, for joining with us. So is there any questions or comments from the members of the public first before we turn it over to the committee members? Committee members, do you have any questions or comments?
This is Mick Khan. I would just like to welcome the DLR group. And the only question I have is the experience with the charter school construction building experience. If you could just touch base that for us, I'd appreciate it.
Andy, you want to take that one?
Sure. A great question. As a firm, our prime core market as a firm is education across the United States. Specifically in California, we have quite a number of charter school projects that we have completed within the last 10 years, and we're actively working on other brand new charter school projects. So we're familiar with the process. We understand the approval process through DSA, as well as navigating the local entitlement process. So quite a bit of experience in this format.
Okay, I'm glad to hear the experience with the, especially the DSA part, which can be a lengthy process. Of course, we'll have a lot of questions down the road, but I would like to just welcome you on board and hopefully we'll have a very smooth working process and get this project done.
Yeah, I'll just say I really appreciate the kind of detailed letter packet we have here, and look forward to working with you all. This looks very good.
I'd also like to welcome you aboard and thank you for your letter.
Thank you, committee.
Well, thank
members.
You very much.
Thank you, committee members. Is there any last comments or questions that you may have? No further comments or questions. The motion is for the committee to approve the selection of DLR Group to provide architectural and engineering services for MSA 5's new construction project, 7111 Winnetka Avenue in Winnetka, for a total fee of $1,765,500, and further approve that MPS staff be authorized to negotiate and sign a professional services contract for said services in such form as MPS staff may deem appropriate and in the best interests of MPS. Furthermore, for the committee to approve and recommend that the board adopts the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I'll put Ms. Gonzalez seconded. Thank you for
yes.
that. So with that, I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohammed?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez? Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. At this moment, I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohammadov. If you may please adjourn, the time is 6:46 p.m.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. I would like to adjourn the Magnolia Public Schools regular audit and facilities committee meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. Thanks again.